fourth quarter 2021 earnings conference call. Joining us today from Lima, Peru are Mr. Tulio Silgado, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, Chief Financial Officer and IRO. Today they will be discussing Aceros Arequipa fourth quarter 2021 results as per the press release issued by the company on January 27. Please note that all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation is finished, we will open the floor for a Q&A session with the management. At that moment, further instructions will be given for the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Please be advised that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you're a member of the media and wish to direct any questions to the company, please contact the company directly after the call. For a copy of the earnings report or the webcast presentation that accompanies this call, please visit the company's website. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release prior to making any investment decision. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Tulio Silgado, Chief Executive Officer of Aceros Arequipa, who will begin their presentation. Mr. Tulio, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome again. You are glad you can join us today to comment on Aceros Arequipa fourth quarter 2021 figures. Before we get started, let's begin by reviewing today's agenda in slide number 2. Our presentation will begin by commenting on some of the relevant events and recognition during 2021. Next, I will briefly review our consolidated results. Afterward, I will pass the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will discuss operational and financial performance. Finally, we will be providing preliminary guidance for the full year 2021-22 prior to the question and answer sessions. Let's move to slide number 3 to comment on some of the recent relevant events. This has been a very successful year in regard of sustainability for Aceros Arequipa. We have been included as a member of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index for the MILA Pacific Alliance region for a second consecutive year, and were included in the Standard & Poor's Sustainability Yearbook. We have also been included as a part of the new Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance Index of the Lima Stock Exchange. Furthermore, the Environmental Ministry recognized our carbon footprint calculation and efforts to reduce greenhouse gases, creating us a third start. For a 4 year in a row, we were nominated as an empresa socialmente responsable, recognizing the company as a social responsible firm and receive a special mention in the environmental category for the circular economy strategy. Moreover, as we continue to strengthen our commitment with all our stakeholders, which includes our employees, we have been obtained the Great Place to Work certification for the 2022 period. 2021 has been a year of relevant growth and investments. Aceros Arequipa acquired 100% of Comfort Share, a local steel products commercialization company with a steel, wires, and nails production plant. As of today, Comfort operations has now been fully assimilated by Aceros Arequipa. During the third quarter, the company acquires the assets of 2 scrap yards in the United States. Of Florida in the United States. Sorry. We expected these yards to supply Aceros Arequipa with 100,000 tons of scrap metal a year, partly securing the scrap needs for our new melt shop. During the third quarter, the new melt shop in Pisco started in its operations. Investment on this facility reached 237 million soles during the year, of which 74 were invested during the fourth quarter. As the new melt shop is being set up, we have been alternatively operating with both current and new melt shops. However, we expected the new melt shop to assume full production of our billet needs during February 2022. On another note, during the third quarter, and as a part of our regional growth strategy, Aceros Arequipa started commercialization operations in Colombia through its subsidiary Aceros America Colombia. Finally, last week, our board of directors approved an investment for a new 300,000 tons shear capacity rolling mill for an estimated $76 million capex. This new plant, which is expected to begin operation during the second semester of 2024, will reduce costs and needs to import long products in the future. Now, please, let's turn to slide number 4 for a quick look into our financial results. Please note that all figures are on a consolidated basis and 2021 results are unaudited. Additionally, any growth rate presented will be year over year unless stated otherwise. During the fourth quarter of 2021, revenue continued to increase and was 36% higher year over year. EBITDA and net profits were slightly above comparative figures of 2020. However, higher prices on raw materials, billets, and commercial products prices, as well as one-time provisions, offset higher selling prices. During the quarter, CAPEX reached 151 million soles, mainly driven by investment in new melt shop facility. As of the end of December 2021, working capital requirements were higher, mainly to higher inventories and accounts receivables, and lower accounts payables. Consequently, consolidated net debt grew versus December 2020, mainly to a higher short-term debt to support working capital requirements. Now, I would like to turn the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will further discuss financial performance for the quarter. Ricardo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Tulio. Good afternoon to everyone. As always, it is a pleasure to have you joining us today. Please, let's move to slide number 6 for a review of our consolidated revenue performance. During the quarter, consolidated revenue jumped to 1.4 billion soles, driven by higher prices. The revenue increase was experienced by both domestic and exports revenues. During the quarter, export revenues, for which the Bolivian market continued to be the main destination, gained relevance and represented 19% of total consolidated revenue, compared to 8% during the fourth quarter of 2020. On a per product basis, all product categories experienced an increase in revenue revenues of rebars, wire rods, other products, and merchant bar categories jumped by 271, 105, and 9 million soles respectively. Finally, revenue figures for the full year also increased significantly, with an increase of over 2 billion soles, or 83% year over year, driven by both higher prices and higher volume. Now let's move to slide number 7 to discuss our profitability measures. Gross profit for the period reached 237 million soles, 6 million below the figures of the fourth quarter of 2020, reaching a gross margin of 16%. Profit was negatively affected by higher prices of shredded billets and imported products, as well as a 39 million charge related to the new melt shop startup cost, scheduled plant stoppages, among other adjustments. EBITDA for the quarter was slightly higher than the previous year figure and reached 186 million soles, while the EBITDA margin was 13%, lower than last year fourth quarter margin. On a year-to-date perspective, both gross profit and EBITDA were significantly above the figures of the comparative period of 2020 by 749 and 770 million respectively. Now let's take a closer look to the drivers of EBITDA increase in slide number 8. As we commented earlier, EBITDA for the quarter was 186 million, 1 million higher compared to that of fourth quarter 2020, mainly driven by an 11 million increase in gross profit, excluding depreciation and amortization. EBITDA increased despite higher SG&A expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, by 7 million soles. SG&A increased mainly due to higher expenses for third-party services and allowances for doubtful accounts. However, as a percentage of revenue, it reached 5.7%, compared to 7.1% as of the fourth quarter of 2020. EBITDA margin reached 12.8%, 4.5 percentage points below the comparative figure of the fourth quarter 2020 as a result of higher revenues but lower gross profit. Finally, EBITDA for the full year 2021 was 1.1 billion, 172% higher than the figure of 2020. Let's now move to slide number 9 to comment on this quarter's net profit. During the fourth quarter of 2021, net profit was 102 million soles, 2 million higher year over year, mainly as a result of a higher operating profit by 10 million, explained by Comfort's badwill adjustment, which was partially reduced by Comasa's PPA actualization, higher results of subsidiaries company by 2 million, and a lower income tax by 8 million, which these figures were partially offset by a negative effect of currency exchange differences of 15 million soles and higher net financial expenses. Finally, net profit for the full year 2021 reached 712 million soles, 528 million soles above the figures of 2020. Now let's move to slide number 10 to discuss our debt metrics. As of December 2021, the total financial debt was 2.5 billion, 1.3 billion higher than that as of December 2020. This was mainly due to higher short-term debt, which reached 1.3 billion, in line with increases of working capital requirements and higher accounts receivables. The debt balance for the new melt shop increased to 800 million. Consolidated net financial debt reached 1.8 billion as total debt was higher. Consequently, net financial debt to EBITDA ratio increased to 1.7 times from 1.3 times registered as of December 2020. By December 2021, 43% of total debt was denominated in soles, 54% was denominated in US dollars, and 3% in bolivianos. Now let's move to slide number 11 to discuss the working capital and CapEx. As of December 2021, operating working capital, which excludes cash available for sale assets and financial liabilities, increased to 1.8 billion soles, mainly driven by higher inventory levels, higher receivables, and lower accounts payable. Collection registered 44 days of sales outstanding versus 64 days as of December 2020. Payables were 61 days, lower than 128 days as of December 2020, mainly due to a settlement with a gas supplier. And inventories reached 184 days as metric tons and sales prices were higher. Let's now take a look at CapEx. During the quarter, CapEx was 151 million, mostly consisting of 74 million investment allocated toward the construction of the new melt shop. Now let's turn to slide number 12 to discuss cash flow. As of December 2021, the total cash balance was 645 million, 8% lower than December 2020. Cash flow for operation was negative 483 million, mainly explained by higher working capital requirements. Cash flow from investing was negative 475 million, mainly due to investment in the acquisition of two scrapyards in the US, the acquisition of Comfort, and investment in property, plant, and equipment. A cash flow from the financing was 857 million, which included net financing of 1.2 billion, dividend payments of 330 million, and interest payments of 27 million. Cash balance of Comfort after the acquisition affected positively the ending cash balance of 2021. It's important to point out that capital leasing agreements from the new mail shop is not included in the cash flow from financing. Now let's turn to slide number 13 to comment on our preliminary guidance for the year 2022. We expect our revenue growth estimates for the full year to be above 12%, and we expect EBITDA to be above 940 million soles. The CAPEX target for the year is expected to be between 500 to 600 million soles, subject to the appropriate board approvals. Consequently, dividends paid during 2022 are expected to be above 215 million, while the earnings per share ratio is expected to be higher than 0.40 soles. Well, thank you for your attention. This concludes our presentation. We are looking forward to answering all your questions. So at this point, we can move to the Q&A session of the presentation. Moderator, please proceed.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please message the host through Zoom chat, and your microphone will be unmuted. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. We don't have any question right now. I have a question from Jose Antonio Andrade. Jose Antonio Andrade, please go ahead.
Hello, do you listen to me?
Yes.
Hello. Hey, Julio and Ricardo, how are you? Well, I want to congratulate both of you and the awesome results of this year. My question is, the net debt had been increasing significantly. Years ago, happened twice, that when prices of steel and or scrap went sharply down, we had big negative results. Are you considering any kind of bond emission or at least to transfer more short-term debt into long-term debt? That's my question.
Tulio, if you allow me, I can answer this one.
Yes, please.
Yes, the increase in the debt is basically by short-term debt. And all the increase in short-term debt is basically because we have been increasing the inventory in values by increased international prices. And also that demand has grown significantly. So now we have more inventories in tons because the demand is bigger, and also because international prices has been gone up. So this is just a capital requirement, a short-term capital requirement for which we use short-term debt. We have not, at this moment, we don't think in getting long-term bonds for a capital requirement.
Yeah.
But basically, it's that the increase in prices and the volume increases has triggered us more short-term debt, which will be repaid as that stock is sold and those accounts receivables are collected from our clients.
Yeah. Okay. But sometimes happens that suddenly the prices go down, and what will happen in that case? That's my
Yeah, but we don't have overstocks. I mean, when prices come down, everybody has the same amount of inventory and the prices. So when prices tends to go down, it usually gives you some time before that lower price inventory gets to Peru. As a matter of fact, our position, our production position versus a commercial company is that we manage our stock faster. A commercial company has to wait several months to receive the imported goods. So it's hard to think that prices go sharply down and you are stuck with high price inventory.
Okay, excellent. And thank you for your response. Just one more question. You have been exporting to Colombia and Chile. Those are, I think it's new markets. Once I asked you for other markets and you told me something about Canada, for example, are you considering some other markets for exports?
Yes, of course, we are considering some other markets. Actually, we are looking for Ecuador. We have an office and warehouses in Colombia. We expected to have more warehouses there. We expected to export to Chile either.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much.
Sorry, we can hear you.
We have another question from Carlos Carazas. Carlos Carazas, please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for the presentation. Congratulations for the results. Could you share some information regarding the argument with the local government of Pisco? That's my question.
Ricardo? ¿Escucha?
Hello.
Hello.
Ricardo, por favor, prende el micrófono.
Yes, Tulio, sorry about that. Just to make sure, are you talking about the Paracas, the Municipalidad de Paracas?
Yeah, exactly, sorry, Paracas.
Okay. The Municipalidad de Paracas has shown a disproportionate behavior by closing the whole plan and know the areas that they observe. For example, they are asking to have a fire protection system on the finished product warehouses, where the company has never had such system due to the fact that the inventory held on those warehouses is still. So as you understand, to have a fire on steel is impossible. As a matter of fact, as far as we know, there is no such requirement for this type in our industry. Due to the fact that steel, as I mentioned, is not a flammable product, I mean, as a paper company may have. No? However, it's important to mention that we have an integral fire protection system in the whole plant and warehouses that addresses any fire risks. We have a truck, a firefighter truck within the plant. So as a matter of risk, we are very comfortable. And this is just a paperwork with the Municipalidad de Paracas.
Okay.
I don't know, Tulio, if you want to add something, but that's for now what we are in.
No, we expected to get an agreement with the Municipalidad de Paracas soon.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the presentation. That was great.
Thank you.
We have a question from Bianca Venegas. Bianca Venegas, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. And I have a couple of questions. One is in a follow-up of the suspension plant you just mentioned. I was wondering, how long do you expect the suspension to be? And because as of Friday, it was suspended again, right? And my second question would be more on COGS. we saw an increase in the cost of merchandise and supplies. Could you give me some color of what are your drivers, and do you expect the same levels of costs for 2022? Thank you.
Okay.
About the Municipalidad of Paracas, we expected to reach an agreement with them in the coming days. Could be 2, 3, or 4 days more.
Okay. With respect of the of the prices of our goods, everything has gone up in that during that last year. Scrap prices has gone up. Billet prices has gone up. And also merchandises that we don't produce has gone up as well. For the next year, we it's difficult to foresee where prices are going. But we have increased prices, so we expect the return of the company to get better than the fourth quarter we just seen.
We have another question from Gamse Alpar. Gamse, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation and congratulations on the very good 21 results. I had two questions. I guess one is really following on from the previous question. You had obviously weaker margins in Q4, and you explained to us that that was due to basically the cost increases you have seen in billets, in scrap, and etc. Just wanted to see how you see that going forward. I mean, I guess you cannot control that, but as you mentioned, in terms of price increases, I just wanted to see what the capacity of the price increases are in terms of what the market can take without impacting the demand. And my second question is on the demand side. Obviously, following COVID, due to increased savings and fiscal stimulus, you've seen a very sharp increase in demand, and just wanted to see how you see that sort of unfolding for this year, whether we should expect to see the same levels of demand or you see the demand tailing off. Thank you.
Thank you. Regarding your first quarter, your first question, sorry, we expected better margins in the first quarter of this year than the previous one, because mainly two reasons. The first one is we do not use any more billet, imported billet. Last quarter, we use a very expensive cost of billet. Now we are producing our own billets that are cheaper than the imported ones. That's one reason. And the other reason, we just increased prices 2 weeks ago. And for that reason, we expected better margins in this first quarter. The second quarter, please, Ricardo, go ahead.
The second question was about what we expect on volume. Our projections, we are expecting sales higher than last year. We are still experiencing a higher demand, and we haven't expected any tempering of what we have been experiencing the last quarter. So demand still strong. We expected it to continue during 2022.
Just to clarify, Ricardo, answer, we expect the demand a little in Peru, probably lower, but a little lower than last year. And we expected the difference of this, we can export to different countries. For that reason, we expected to produce more this year and sell less in Peru, a little more in the context we are already working.
No, thank you very much for this. Just one more question from myself is, I think with the new melt shop, you were going to start producing grinding balls, and just wanted to see what's your plans are in terms of grinding ball production and sales?
Yeah, we expected to sell grinding balls in the second quarter of this year, probably. The reason is we need to make a lot of trials before going to the market. We expected to sell in the second quarter.
And should we expect a significant contribution from grinding balls for 2022?
Yes, could be.
Thank you.
There appear to be no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the floor back to over to Mr. Silgado for closing remarks.
Thank you all. It has been a pleasure to have you joining us today again. As we have discussed, this has been a challenging but a very fruitful year, and we are eager to continue to grow and create value during 2022. Before I finish, I would like to welcome you all to continue following us in our next first quarter 2022 call further this year to continue to discuss Aceros Arequipa's achievements and financial results. Good afternoon.